Welcome to Full Press Coverage Washington. My name is George Carmi. Let's get it on. Welcome to Wild Card Weekend, everybody. I'm here with Adam Aniba. Adam, how you doing today, man?
Good, man. Finally glad to link up with you, man.
Yeah, 100%, man. We've been trying for a little while. So, the Washington football season ended. We're heading into the draft season right here. And I've known Adam for quite a while now, and I know he really dives into and kind of digs into this right now. So I kind of wanted a pseudo expert to kind of break us all down on these prospects coming forward. So thank you for being here. I'd appreciate it.
Always, man. Always. Always look forward to talking about draft. Like I said, this has been something I've been doing since I was a kid. I always just sat there with a pad and paper and, my dad he loved football, but he didn't understand what I was doing with the draft. The draft was just never understandable to him. So it was something cool I was add to our dynamic.
Totally get it, man. Totally get it. Are you enjoying the playoffs this weekend? How's it going for you? Enjoying the game? Yeah,
see, in Philadelphia got knocked out the way they did, and the way Dak blew it, yeah, it's great. It's great.
It's really refreshing for a Washington fan, 100%. So one question I had for you. So do you like the whole, seven seed format? Do you like the fact that, the Philadelphia Eagles are coming in and the Pittsburgh Steelers are coming in? Do you think it adds, an extra element of interest to the playoffs? Or do you think it's more of, we're seeing these bottom feeders coming that shouldn't even be there in the first place? What are you thinking?
I think if you add a game, it only makes sense to, add a couple spots. I think it's fair. And for the most part, they get weeded out. So This happens in college. This happens in every level, basketball, baseball, everything. So no, I don't see a problem with it. As far as, the whole playoff format, I think they could maybe do something better than they have in place right now with the way the seedings work. But not so far, so good. I've had Green Bay and Kansas City.
Me too, actually. Good call.
So far, so good. So.
No, I'm with you 100%. I think Green Bay, Kansas City, 100%. I think Green Bay is going to take it all the way. I don't know if you feel that way or not. It's kind of where I'm at. I'm really looking forward to Kansas City and Buffalo next week. It's going to be an awesome game right there.
Yeah.
Who you got for tonight? Who are you rooting for in regards to Rams and Cardinals?
I think it's going to be close. Seeing Eric Weddle come back out of retirement to play for Los Angeles is – that's definitely must-see football.
I love that.
So I'm glad I'll be able to watch that later. But I've been on Arizona all year, and I know they've dealt with injuries, but I like their depth. I like the depth, their receiver position. And I just think when you have Kyler Murray on the field, I think that he can do things special. Granted, Cooper Kupp, statistically best in the NFL, hit in every category. I just like Kyler Murray in this one. I think it's going to be close. But, yeah, I have Arizona getting it by three.
There you go. It'll be an awesome game right there. It's awesome. So, Adam, obviously we're a Washington-centric podcast, and, we wanted Washington to be in the playoffs right here. In your opinion, what was the big story of this whole season? Do you think it was more of quarterback play? What were the big deficits that Washington had, and how comfortable are you with the regime that we have here in D.C.?
I definitely outlined a few of those. But to me, you want to go to the quarterback. That's always the first gut. But for me, for Washington, after last year, it's you got to look at the defense, the defensive letdown. And I understand people said, you can't just blame coaches. Players got to play. But listen, with the kind of unit that they marched out there, JDR, he fell flat. So a matter of fact attitude that, of course, why would I think I'm not going to be back next year?
Yeah.
It to me, it doesn't speak well for how Ron Rivera, I think there's a very, old school, former NFL, regime guys that are together. And I think you got to be careful with that. I think, when you're building your staff, if you're falling flat, you go to the playoffs, seven wins last year, we can say fluke or whatever, but it was a fluke, but the defensive performance, in all the categories and, the turnover margin, I look at Indianapolis this year, Darius Leonard, one of my favorite guys.
I love that guy.
The way that Washington did it with Chase Young, Montez Sweat the year before, and you're like, well, what happened? To me, the locker room was lost. There was a disconnect. I've just heard a lot of things. I don't like to say sources because I don't do that, but just different people I've talked to, close to the team, around the team. The Deron Payne situation is real.
He went out. I heard that too, actually.
Him and Allen aren't tight. So, that, keep in mind that, Allen is the leader, the captain, re-signed the long-term deal, and they're not going to give another defensive tackle that kind of money. And even though Payne has been, you know, disappointed, I would say this year, or, you know, even average, if you want to put it there, he's not going to get Allen money. So you got to figure what you're going to do. And, you know, I'll be talking more about that. So even draft season, I'll have articles coming out about Washington, but I definitely think, you know, look for Payne to be moved some way, shape or form, especially if they can get in the quarterback game. I don't think they can. Personally, that's why I'm really going high on talking about these guys in the draft, because, you know, we're not talking about the past 2 years. So I think at 11, we can talk about a couple guys tonight. But the trade route, I think you're going to have to include a guy like Payne. That, you know, it's not outside the realm that, you know, Sweat could be in that kind of conversation too.
But I agree.
I think there has to be some changes, and coaches aren't going to be out. So I think somebody's, you know, multiple players are going to be out. So we'll see.
No, a lot of good information there. I really agree with you. So do you think walking away from the years, you know, one last check on this, do you think it was more of the players basically playing undisciplined? Like, there's a lot of talk earlier in the year about how, like, Montez Sweat was kind of playing rogue and Chase Young was more of, like, relying on his athleticism. Do you think it was more of them? Do you think it was more Jack Del Rio didn't necessarily, you know, have the right X's and O's? Like, you know, I don't know how you felt, but walking away watching the 49ers yesterday, I was like, I saw that pass rush and I saw, like, you know, we were supposed to be, you know, 49ers light. That's supposed to be our blueprint right there. And it hasn't come to fruition. We're not the bullies that we wanted to be. Do you think it's more on the players? Or do you think it's Del Rio? And I'm kind of concerned because Ron Rivera is known for being, like, super loyal. I don't know if there is going to be any changes over the offseason. Right. I'm curious.
49ers, exactly. I'm glad you said it. The blueprint, I wrote that 2 years ago about, you know, the 49ers, you know, they were really following, you know, toe for toe what they were doing over there. And look at them. They lost Robert Saleh, became the head coach of the Jets, and they just kept going, you know, not quite as high expectations, I think. And I think they've exceeded them where they are right now. But I think when you have what happened with Chase Young, Sweat, and all these guys, and then, you know, I'll even talk about Jamin Davis, you know, he is really getting a lot of slack. And I think coaching matters in football, guys, and Jack Del Rio, I think he's at the point of his career where I think he thinks he can step back, name captains and say, go. I don't think there's any teaching going on by him. I don't think there's much going on by the position coach, Mills, all these. I think they're going to be the ones that get one of those, or two or three of those guys are going to be out there. They have to, because if guys aren't playing to their best, you can't keep around position guys. You at least have to replace them. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But undisciplined, that's exactly what it is. You know, these guys were not on the same page all last year. And you started to see, you know, people like, this team is better without Montez Sweat and Chase Young in the game. The defense playing better. I don't think it's about them playing better. I just think there was a more sense of direction. I think that egos were out and a lot of that was out. But I'm not so quick to say Chase Young and even Montez Sweat, their egos have already got to them. I think there's a lot of factors. You know, you're talking about businessmen here, and we can sit here and say, just play the football and just, you know, shut up. But come on, those days are over. You know, the folks that sit there and don't think, you know, the Watson situation is a perfect, you know, scenario. Because again, we're waiting on that weird situation still a year plus later. And, you know, a lot of people think that that's going to come out, you know, not with much. So my thing is, I think it seems that anytime players want to be involved with control or be involved with decision-making, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, it can go either way. Lucky for him, he had a lights out season, because if he went the other direction, I think we'd be talking about him, you know, out the door, probably to Denver or someone else next year. I think he's not going anywhere. But I think when you have, it doesn't have to be the best coaches, but, you know, the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, what they're doing there, what you've got the players believing in right now, I think the magic of, you know, what Ron Rivera went through, you know, he was a soldier, you know, with all of that, you know, much respect to him. But I think that wore off. And I think when it came to this year, we needed to see the defense lights out and a quarterback that could come in and manage. And what I wanted to see from Taylor Heinicke, I wanted to see, could he stay healthy? And I wanted to see, can he read the field? Can he move the ball? Well, we saw one of them, you know, he could stay healthy. You know, if it wasn't for COVID, he would have played every game. But the backyard style, I would have liked to see him do it a little more when it broke down. I think that would probably give us another win or two. But in saying that, he's not it. You know, he had multiple opportunities to show he's a passer. And I think it's a little overrated when you talk about arm strength, because if a guy can get the field 40 yards downfield, 50 yards, that's good. But the thing is he losing accuracy on that? And he does. He often floats it, and it's often behind the, you know, you've seen Terry McLaurin took so many unnecessary hits this year. You know, and had to make
highlight way hurt a couple times. Yeah, for sure.
The ball. And, you know, just to, you know, put that in a bow, Scott Turner, you know, you bring him back and people like give him slack, give him a quarterback. Listen, good coordinators that are up and coming that, you know, they're able to work with these guys and get the best out of them.
Yeah.
He saw what was happening with Taylor Heinicke, you know, what was happening with the injuries on the offensive line. You change game plan. You go more RPO. You go more, you know, more quick game.
Mm-hmm.
You would see it. They get some, you know, then they run the ball. They would get some movement. Then you'd be like, all right, they're getting cute now, doing a reverse to Carter when, you know, it's not the time. Mm-hmm. So I think all those things mentioned, I think there's a lot of things you can fix in the offseason with that. But again, with the coaching coming back, I'm going to have some faith as a fan in John Allen. I really think that he's going to get those guys together. I think you're going to see Cam Curl rise up to more. I think you add a free safety to that bunch. Even though it's a bit of an underachieving cornerback group, I think if you can add a real ball hawk free safety.
I agree. 100%. Good catch on that, Adam. I agree with you.
Free agency a little bit with especially middle linebacker, because I'm not giving up on Jamin Davis as a Mike. I think let's get a veteran in there. He's got nobody to learn from.
I agree. I think they're all way too young. I think they're way too young. I love Jamin Davis. Well, coming out, he's just I think people need to understand that he was a raw prospect and they drafted him on traits, right? He basically a height, weight, speed guy. You know, he had what, 1 year, maybe 14 starts in Kentucky or something along those lines. He has not even reached his cusp yet. He's still on the uprise, right? That's the one thing I'm worried about. I do think that they are like the whole defensive line, linebacking core, they're like 25 and below. I think Jonathan Allen's the oldest one of them all. So I do think it would best serve us to have a veteran middle linebacker maybe plugged in over there and have, you know, maybe Davis and Holcomb on the sides. But I agree with you. I would love to see Davis maybe take the next step, but I just don't know where the direction is going to come from. I do think there needs to be a soundboard in that linebacker room. I just don't know where it's going to come from.
They got to hit free agency for that. Like you said, right now, these guys are both probably wills. I think we have a bunch of wills on the team, but people don't understand the difference. There is such a slight difference between Will and Mike. In my opinion, it comes a lot to, you know, reading the field direction, being able to communicate. That's what separates like a good Will and a good Mike to me. So again, you want to develop a Mike, you can do it. You just have to bring a veteran in there. Like if we had a London Fletcher kind of type, I'm telling you, in 2 years, Davis would be awesome. Right now, I'm going to stay medium because what the hell do you want for a pick at a mid-round, first-round pick? Like fans need to understand, when you go from the top 10 to 15, but then 15 to 20, you're talking about drop-offs here. So, we could have gone the Notre Dame kid. Yeah, they could have gone this way. But you got to understand, you got to give classes 2-3 years before you even really evaluate them, you know?
I agree 100%, bro, 100%. So we brought up Taylor Heinicke in the last conversation here. What are your thoughts on him? Are you out on him? Do you want to see him in a backup role? Do you think he's going to start week one as we develop our quarterback? So what's your kind of perspective on him so far?
Well, I think we've seen every year players get released. So, you know, let's see. I think there could be, you know, a couple veteran quarterbacks that could become available. And I think you got to have three. I don't think you can go into that. I think we've seen enough now that you have to go in the season and you have to have three on your roster, not a practice squad, put a fourth on your practice squad. Mm-hmm. They've shown this, you know. I think with Taylor Heinicke, he's on the cheap still. I think if they had any faith in Allen, even though he gave a fifth round pick, we would have seen him. And the Giants,
where was he?
At least a little bit. So that tells me they're out on him. They've got no interest bringing him back. But like I said, Taylor signed for next year. So I think right now, he's the one going in for that. But my hope is you're going to get a veteran and you go into this draft. You know, I've wrote about a bunch of scenarios in the different prospects where I think, you know, Pickett, I do think a team's going to move up to get him. Maybe not move up to get him, but somewhere in the top 10, someone's going to get him. So that's why I think realistically I have, you know, him and Corral pretty close. You know, the measurables separate them slightly.
I like Corral too.
But I like Corral, you know, as 1B. And where Washington picks, he makes perfect sense if you're going to go that with the, you know, the quarterback around the first round. But again, I play out all the scenarios. That's why I get, you know, slack on different articles I write. Some people love them, some people don't. But, you know, the number's always the same because there's always people that want to see the other side. So,
they do.
You know, on the other side, you know, you've got guys like N'Kobe Dean, you know, Jaquan Brisker, you know. So there's a lot of guys that I'll be looking at for first round, you know, scenarios. But the mock drafts, the value in those mock drafts, when people say they hate them. But with the value I see.
You're interesting.
It brings names around. So, you know, instead of just the first round, second, by the time we get to draft time and I'm still putting out prospects, people are like, oh, yeah, I drafted him in the fifth or sixth round. That's what I want to hear. Because, again, you know me with the small schoolers, Division 1, 2, 3, FCS, FBS, you know, they come from all, you know, directions. You know, Kyle Duggar last year, you know, the guy I sat down with We sat down with November before the draft. He went the second round to the Patriots, just like Darius Leonard when we wrote about him. So, you know, it just
Jared
shows
Patterson.
You
highlighted him as well. I remember that.
Patterson and, you know, Patterson and Danny Johnson were two I highlighted and ended up going to Washington. So, you know, to see those hits early on, those are draft hits. But as far as, like, let's see how they pan out. And right now, Kyle Duggar had a hell of a year. Darius Leonard is the best linebacker in football.
I love Darius
Leonard,
yeah.
It just shows you that, you know, even if you're starting in November, those guys were ranked 150, 200, some of those, Darius, especially Duggar. You know, he was ranked, I think, 185 when we talked. And then he went, what, I think 52 or something, that range.
Anymore.
But
yeah,
it just shows you in a couple months, people are like, well, what changes? When there's no games, what changes? It's a hell of a lot. Pro days, combine. Interviews are huge. So it just shows you, you know, by the time you get to draft, all these mocks, the names start to get familiar, and, you know, you can have better discussions. Because to me, that's what I'm all about. I put out this content to really create discussion and buzz, especially for the HBCU. I'm so glad this year we have this combine coming. I'll be writing about that. But, you know, to talk about, we went from the 80s and 90s to something like 150 prospects from the HBCU level.
It's awesome,
on
right?
First, second round,
I love
fourth
it.
Round, third. To that going down like 70%, there's a problem. So, you know, draft diamonds, there's a couple out there that, you know, they do a lot, some of them that I do, but, you know, they got multiple staff, you know, writers. Me, you know, I got a small staff, but, you know, my editor, but we really bang it out. So, you know, I think this year, Joshua Williams, Fayetteville State, is my guy, you know.
Okay.
He's probably that day three range. But, you know, again, Kyle Duggar, he's always happy, you never know. You know, 6'3". He talked with Lewis Riddick. You know, Deion Sanders raved about him. Awesome kid. You know, I'll have that coming out soon. But, you know, there's some maybe not marquee talent at some of the small school level this year that are really going to blow you away. But I think when all said and done, when you get into, you know, the X's and O's, you know, there's some really good prospects.
No, yeah, Adam, I love that you're talking about all the work that you do. Like, obviously, I respect you. I've known you for a couple of years now. Adam, just for our viewers that aren't familiar with your work or haven't really been, you know, are kind of being exposed to you for the first time, what type of work do you put into this draft prospect? Like, what is your, like, what's your background in all this? Like, what's your process for maybe evaluating a player? Like, how do you dive deep into this?
Okay, so, you know, we started the Burgundy and Gold Report 6 years. So this will be our sixth draft. In June of 2020, you know, we went away from, you know, the WordPress and the, you know, the more blogging, you know, way into more, you know, hardcore, you know, interviews. I started my own .com, my site, you know, with
beautiful too. I love it.
Thank
you. Check it. We're going to drop it in our link later on. It's fantastic. I love it. Go ahead.
And what we really tried to create, especially last year and going to this year, you can see we left our archive draft guys last year. And then this year, is really, we did with our player cards, you know, what we try to include is those is, especially this year, we focused on more, you know, listing the games. You know, I have to go back. I don't think I did, but in this draft cards this year, we list every game.
You did. I saw them, actually.
I watched a minimum of 8 games on each prospect. So that's my process.
Your process on
my
it.
My process in a nutshell right there. but, you know, what we do and include in the articles is, you know, the highlight videos, you know, interviews that we have. But in the end, there's a, you know, people ask, well, how do you decide what kind of prospects you look at? Well, there's a lot of prospects. I'll get through a full game, I'll get through a half game, and then I'll get to the second game, and I'm like, I'm out, you know. And I'll give you one this year, you know, Carson Strong.
I was going to ask you about him. I don't know much about him. I really want to hear about him.
You got to, you know, I'll be proven wrong. That's fine. I'll eat crow. But again, I go by what I see, and just by, you know, the medicals, everything from high school, everything I've read, you know. That's a guy that should be in the day three range, you know, and, you know, Ritter is another guy. I got through 4 games, but then, you know, casually I watched a few more games on him, and I just see he's another guy that, you know, you're not going to start a franchise with him. I see later round guys that I have more faith in that are, you know, that are going to go later than him, that I think sometimes the ability to run RPO and run a little bit, you know, gets a little out of hand. But you got to understand these linebackers, these defensive linemen, Georgia showed it.
Fast.
They're fast. So
yeah,
that's
are.
Not going to fly anymore. You got to do more than just run. So, like I said, there's a couple guys I like. So, you know, we'll talk about them more. But in the end, like I said, 6 years, this is my sixth draft. My dad, he played professional soccer internationally. He came to this country. He was a freshman for Georgetown. And, you know, by the time I was the third kid, I was the baby. My dad was, you know.
I'm a baby too. I got you, Adam, with you.
Yeah, he was a lot older by then, you know, God rest his soul. And he loved Washington. You know, he loved Doc Walker, he loved Joe Gibbs, and, you know, I've been blessed to, you know, talk to Doc Walker, and he's become, you know, sort of like a guy I always reach out to, you know, always there for my interviews. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but my dad, the part that he lacked was the part that I picked up was, mm-hmm. you know, the ins and outs of prospects, the ins and outs of guys coming out of college. You mm-hmm. know, my dad, he could sit there, talk about, you know, Didier or Doc Walker or mm-hmm. all the guys and tell me, but, you know, sometimes we're talking like, dad, you know, he left in free agency, you know, last year.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, okay. So, you know, we really played off each other well that way. So, you know, in the end, when I was able to really get the Burgundy and Gold Report, the website, that's what my goal was, to really get that going, you know, while he was around to see it. So I was happy.
Hell
to see
yeah,
that.
Man. That's awesome. That's
you
awesome.
Know, I did a couple podcasts, Football Garbage Time, Sidelines. And, you know, I really had to get back to the meat of it. I did a show and I still have that going on.
Took happy hour.
Mm-hmm. You know, I did B&G Report Happy Hour where, you know, we talk about, you know, local beers just to start, you know, just whatever I want to talk about. So that'll be coming back, you know, in time. But for that's now, awesome, like man. I said, it's draft season. This is what I love to do. Like I said, since I was a kid, I just used to take notes. And, you know, as far as my background, I went to college and, you know, writing was my thing. I always mm-hmm. wanted to be a writer and I just love sports writing. And, but, you know, you start to find out what is a sports writer, you know, what are these places, are you writing for yourself anymore?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you're not. So, yeah. You know, I pursued this as something that interests me and then it's gone a lot farther than that.
That's awesome.
And, you know, I went into got, you know, within the last, I think, was it 2019, 2020, 2018, 2019, 2020, you know, get training. You know, I've got scouting training. I've had some great, you know, former GMs been able to just like break down scouting reports I submit. So my goal was to really get the ins and outs, to really get the literature and get the stuff on that as, you know, my Encyclopedia Britannica. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I have. And then what I do for my website is take all that and really I try to come cut out as much as the jargon as possible. Like mm-hmm. my pros and cons for, you know, there's no way around it. You're going to, you know, talk about, you know, arm strength, this and that, whatever. But mm-hmm. as you can see in my writing, you know, it's really, I think it's out there. So anybody who understands football and is really just trying to learn more about a prospect, you know, they're really getting to the meat of it. You know, unlike last year, instead of just focusing on Washington for my draft prospect, that's why, you know, it's at the end of articles, it's always, you know, either Washington football or mm-hmm. you know, draft.
Other fits.
Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. to kind of, you know, so some of our readers can, you know, understand the difference. Because even though it's still Burgundy and Gold Report, at the end, you know, we'll put, you know, like, for instance, Corral, we have about, you know, seven teams that he has fits on. Mm-hmm. But so we're really trying to just make it more out there for all the fans, all, you know, all different teams. So, you know, I'm not someone that's going to, you know, not talk about any of the prospects that fit on the teams, but I do gravitate towards prospects. I'm not going to lie, that, you know, do fit in Washington and yeah. especially the NFC East, a lot of guys, because that's what I'm focused on. But, you know, we'll be looking about a lot more teams, you know, in the future. But, you know, right now, you know, we're just locked in with the draft. We try to put out articles that really just make you think about a prospect, make you think outside the box. And, you know, hopefully, you know, some of the ones out there, a lot of people are, you know, headline readers instead of, you know, actually opening the article. But I promise, you know, one thing that, you know, my first 3 years to now is, you know, really, you know, condensed it, you know, from those 6 minute reads to, you know, down to our player cards or around those 3 minute reads, you know,
yeah, and that's 3 minute 4 minute reads,
you know, just mm-hmm. to make it, you know, readable, you know what I mean? Cause we know we're all busy. We want to get through as many as possible, not just one. You know, I'll put highlights in there and our at the end of our cards, our player cards, it's a link back to our site that gives you, you know, if you're just watching Corral, you know, just to go back and check out ours. So really try to put out something there diverse that, you know, I look around and see what's not out there. And that's what I try mm-hmm. to do, you know, especially, like I said, on the small school level, HBCU level, we've branched out a lot because right now I was really narrowed in on those divisions for a while. And now I want to continue to do those, but I also want to bring, you know, prospects that I believe, you know, are really great fits for the team I love, Washington. So
100%, man, you can use exuding passion when you look at your work. And I really do appreciate it. I love it. It's fantastic. And guys, for those of you that are watching the live feed, I actually put up the burgundyandgoldreport.com link right below the feed so you guys can check it out. So Adam, awesome work. I can tell you love it. You're definitely passionate about it. So let's get into it, man. So like, you know, I want to learn from you and I think people, right. listeners want to learn from you as well. So, you know, obviously people keep talking about this QB class, you know, Heinicke has some deficits. We want to improve and we want something efficient to basically lead our offense. So, you know, there's, you know, before you jump in, I know people have rumored, hey, you know, weak QB class, you know, I'm looking at the Draft Network board who said, you know, I think, you know, Kenny Pickett's number 18 overall on the big board right here. You know, who are your top three favorite picks and, you know, in the QB class, and do you think they're worthy of the 11th overall selection? What do you think about that?
Right. And I'm going to say this with Astros. Watch these shows and all these experts come beginning of April. You're going to see all of these
top
guys.
Five.
You're going to see, it's going to be even crazier than what I'm saying. No, I'm saying that I think that back of that top 10 is when you'll start to see, you know, a quarterback go. And I just think, especially with teams with multiple picks, you're talking about teams Giants. Wanting to trade up, you know, teams with capital. So I think in the scenario with Kenny Pickett, I see him as the first one off the board.
I agree.
I think, you know, I'm looking at Denver. I'm looking, there's a couple teams that I just think, and I'll say this about him. The biggest thing that I heard, especially after I did the write-up, is the small hands.
Small hands. Again, everyone says that.
And again, two things. Number one, he played in Pittsburgh. Okay. So he played in the elements. Okay. Yeah. Yes, he wears gloves. So definitely that's a knock. But I, again, in my write-up, I have it as a slight knock. Because if I saw balls floating on him, you know, you're talking about he's putting balls 65, you know, yards in the air on a rope right in his receiver's hands in front of him in stride. That's what I want to see from a quarterback. So the idea that the ball is bigger in the NFL, you know, I think fans need to, you know, get a ruler out because it's really, really small.
A quarter of an inch or something like that,
and
right?
I think crazy. That'll be broken down quickly in the draft process. If I'm wrong, okay. But I think early on, they're going to test that. And if that's an issue, we're going to see it right away. But as far as statistics, over 12,000 yards, 81 touchdowns, 31 interceptions. What I'm looking for in a quarterback is I'm looking for the progression from the year before. So from him being able to, I think it was 9 interceptions, about 18 touchdowns. He jumped up to 42 touchdowns and 7 interceptions.
Blew
this past
up.
Year.
Super senior year, right? Fifth year.
And that's the other thing. People are saying, well, you know, he's getting a lot of crap for that too. That first year he played 4 games that first year. And then I think it was junior year, he missed 3 games or 4 games, not even in a consecutive, but here and there. So the whole, you know, extra time thing, he still threw for 12,000 yards. So, you know, when it comes to him, you know, we saw that guy manipulated a rule in college football.
Okay? The fake slide.
you talk about football IQ. Do you think he just pulled that out and that was just impromptu? No way. This guy was sitting on that, and I don't know. I didn't even go into depth to see if he's talked about it more. I don't like to do that. I like to stay laser focused. But I tend to believe that's something he was waiting to pull out, and he pulled out at the perfect moment. And they changed the rule in college football because he was, you know, he was looking. He was going to go to the ground with that slide, and he faked, and then the defense let up. So they changed that rule. In the NFL, that's not what I'm looking for him to do at all. So those runs, you got to take those with a grain of salt. So what I'm looking for him to translate is a guy that's going to play tempo, is a guy that they're going to have in shotgun, that, you know, they're going to use a lot of motions. Because I think when you have a guy like him, he did not have – I challenge anybody right now that's not a fan of Pittsburgh or a fan of that division to tell me a receiver that plays for their team, because I am not evaluating one. None of them jump out. So for him to have the kind of year he did with that cast, that speaks volume. So in a nutshell, that's where I go with my prospects. You know, what are his weapons? What kind of offense are they running? And Pitt, it's nothing crazy, but you know, they understand how to get their receivers open. And what I like about him is very few times would you see any players coming back to the ball. I think that was a big problem in Washington. I think with Kenny Pickett, the best thing I like about him is he's going to hit his receivers in stride. He's going to hit him in the hands when they're in downfield. So, you know, does he have a stronger arm than Burrow and Lawrence, any of these guys? Man, I think the jury's still out on a lot of these guys. Like, I think they can look good early. I think 5 years from now, Lawrence could be the star and Burrow could be, you know, a backup. So I think people get really excited too fast with quarterbacks because coaching matters. And so if he can go to a situation like Denver, again, let's see who's, you know, running that team. But that's a lot of weapons right there. So to me, if you put Kenny Pickett in Denver, you put Kenny Pickett in, let's say, Detroit. Totally different scenarios. That's 100%. Why this quarterback's class differs from last year's in the past. I think Lawrence will have success in Jacksonville. It'll just take a little bit of time.
Some time.
But these quarterbacks fit as everything. And people would say, well, why would I put Corral to Washington then? Because I like what they're doing as far as their skill positions with Terry McLaurin, with Antonio Gibson. They have a clear idea that they want to have speed on the field. Carter, he was a guy I wrote about when we came to him. I love the addition. And,
love,
you know,
Carter.
He really exceeded my expectations. So I think you continue to, you know, have speed. Diami Brown, you surround these quarterbacks with talent. You know, Corral, you see who he's had over the last couple of years. You know, he's had some legit guys at Ole Miss, but, man, he made a name for himself for his toughness, playing the whole year on two sprained ankles. You know, unlike Pickett, and the respect for Pickett, I understand it's a business decision. Didn't play in his bowl game. Corral played, and he risked a lot of money because we all thought he was down on the field and his knee was done. But it was just a re-aggravation of his ankle. He's all good. So, you know, there's a lot of different things I'm looking for in prospects. And, you know, that's one thing about this year's class. Those are just the two that are very diverse.
Before you deep dive into Corral, so this is what I saw. And you obviously are much more well ahead of the process than I am. But I saw Pickett. He seemed like more of a fluid quarterback, kind of throwing in rhythm, great fundamentals, especially great feet, right? Is that fair to say about Pickett?
Rhythm, okay. Rhythm quarterback, exactly. Great feet. You know, he sets his base. You won't really see him throwing off balance. He's not one of those guys. You know,
he seems very cerebral.
You know, everything is there. But that's the thing. The hands are gonna be killing him. Like, you know, 6'3", 220. I think he'll come in a little shorter than that. But the hands will really be critiqued. But again, remember what they do at draft time. Everyone doesn't want to hype up their guy. Every GM, every team, they want to find problems. If you find problems, then you fall into your lap.
100%.
A la John Allen, okay? That was a good one. The arthritic shoulder, I guarantee there was a lot of Washington brass putting that one out there. So
let me throw this out there, and you can poke holes through it real quick. So Corral, right? Corral seems like a mobile quarterback, uber competitive. He seems to have the arm strength, sometimes erratic a little bit, right? I'm a little bit small, and maybe one thing that I saw, maybe this is just really nitpicky, when he initiates contact, when he's a competitor, so when he's like running, he puts his shoulder down and kind of is reluctant to slide. That's my very early, January assessment of him. You're much more further in the process. What do you got? Is that fair? What do you think?
Yeah. But, you know, like Trey Lance too, you know, a guy like that, you know, they're different. I'm just talking about the running aspect, you know, Lance. That's why you need time sometimes to sit, because you have to understand, you do that, you're going to be out of the league quickly, but it shows that you have the toughness to do it. With Corral, I don't worry that he's going to do those kind of things right away. I don't think he's going to change his game, but man, his feet are his game, you know, they're a huge part of his game. You know, Malik Willis, that's a guy that uses his feet a lot more. But, you know, in Corral, I think, you know, this year was it just under 600 yards, 11 rushing touchdowns. But he still threw for 20 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So, again, what do I look for? Only 4 interceptions this year. I think he had a 9 or around about that last year. So you're talking about cut the interceptions in half. The touchdowns weren't crazy. You wanted to see more of those. But, you know, you're talking about combining at 31 with the rushing. So, all time, you know, his career, he finished just over 8,200 yards, 57 touchdowns, 22 INTs. So, to me, again, are you talking about top 10 right there just from looking at that? No. But I think when you break down his film, and again, we talked about the sprained ankles, you know, this is a guy that exuberates toughness. I think if you're having an NFL franchise, we're seeing right now, I don't care how good these quarterbacks are, how tough these are, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's showing you, you know, as far as toughness goes, that's what I can see. That's the only comp I can see is toughness. Because I can see him, you know, this kid playing on a broken foot. So, to me, that's what you want to have on your team. You're talking about pick number 11. I think, if they just sit there, can he fall to them? I don't see that as a reach. So, if you're talking about you can start the franchise process there, I think Corral is a great situation. And what I love about him, above all quarterbacks in this class, he's going to get everybody going.
I think people love Corral. People are going to love him.
You know, he's going to bring that Ole Miss swagger. And I love, you know, I'm a guy, SEC was, you know, I'm buried in it, but I've really been able to branch out. But I always come back to these guys because they're just so tough. And out of, you know, the last couple Ole Miss quarterbacks we've seen, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, expectations. You know, a lot of them have been runners. A lot of them have that dual threat label. But Corral, he brought it together as a passer. But again, what we're going to, you know, I don't really focus on my evaluation much about it, but because I didn't talk about just a team fit. But with a lot of tempo, a lot of the RPO, a lot of the stuff that they do, people are going to question, does that eliminate teams? It does. It's going to eliminate a lot of teams. But I think Pickett and Corral, I think if you want to, you know, get your system ready and start them day one, you can do that. They're the only two guys in the class that can do that. And I think when you have the running games going, that's why I talk about Denver for Pickett and I talk about Washington for Corral. You have a running game in place. You add pieces. You start him. So I think Ron Rivera said it. If they go that route, they're going to expect to play right away. Those are your two guys. After that, I think anybody else in this class, I like a few others, but they're going to have to sit a year, just like Lance.
Yeah, let's throw this out there. So for one, I was blessed to have Doc Walker on yesterday for my podcast, and I was talking to him, and he was like, he doesn't want Alabama guys. He doesn't want guys that are like that nice pedigree that's been winning for years and years, kind of papered. He wants those guys from like Old Miss and other SEC schools that are chasing right. the dog. He wants that dog. And I was like, dude, you're gonna love Matt Corral because he's feisty and he has that energy behind him. So I love that right there. Before we pivot to another quarterback, so you said you watched, eight games on Corral. Did you watch him against those big dogs, against Georgia, against Alabama? Like, how did he perform against the higher competition? Did he perform pretty well?
I think he definitely left some on the field. Okay. Man, he made some great decisions in those games. You can see how he adjusted his style to those teams, mm-hmm. and it's out of respect because mm-hmm. he knows that he couldn't pull off a lot of those. You know, he would basically get his running backs killed with some of those mm-hmm. dump offs that he was doing against other teams. Cause the screen pass, the crossers, the slants, you got to be careful against some of the big hitters. Cause you're going to get your receivers killed. So, if you can't put it out in front of them, give them room to run, I think that changes your game plan. So I saw a lot of that, and he's able to use his feet to get out of a lot of situations. I think in this NFL right now, there's very few situations where you can have a true pocket drop back quarterback that doesn't at least have some legit lateral movement. You yeah. can't be a guy, like
keep a statue back there.
Anymore. Yeah, exactly. Like Tom Brady, we're not going to confuse him with the runner, but he can move laterally through that pocket,
Exactly. Functional mobility. He's smart enough. Functional mobility. He's smart enough to kind of get out of the pocket. I agree with you 100%.
Right.
So, I loved it. So basically, this is what I took away. You said basically Pickett is one. We have basically Corral 1A. Yeah. Both of those guys could start day one, in your opinion. So let's go on down to number three then. Would that be Sam Howell? Is that a safe assumption, or what are you thinking for number three?
It's close to me with Malik Willis and Howell. I'm breaking down Howell right now. I'm a couple games into him. But I did watch, of course, I did Deami Brown last year, so I mm-hmm. am very familiar. But mm-hmm. it's a big difference this year. He lost a lot of weapons. He lost Daz Newsome. He lost Deami Brown. He lost his running backs. Not one. He lost two running backs.
Michael Carter, Javonte Williams, exactly right.
Mm-hmm. He definitely took a hit with that. But I like how he's responded. He's another one, though. You don't draft him and say he's going to be your day one starter. Right now, to me, I have Malik Willis ahead of him. Not by much. But what's crazy is just by the way the draft is shaping up, I could see, even though I think Malik Willis still could go in that top, 20 range, because I think teams are desperate.
Is he a first round? Is he a first round in your opinion, or what?
Malik Willis? I do. I think
he has a massive upside for sure.
Yeah, but go ahead. I think he needs work, but I think again, if you're talking about overall talent, he's a fringe. But again, my evaluation is draft projections. So mm-hmm. with him, I do think that he's going to be in that top 20 range, just based on, you talk about fans sit there and say, well, it's not a good class. We can't, they get passed. Man, people forget about the draft. What was it? Emmanuel from Florida State. Those drafts where teams were reaching on those guys top 20, and they had no business in the top three rounds. Mm-hmm. These guys, they're fringe first rounders. That's why I look at, Willis and Howell. I think that they're fringe guys that can be in that 25 to end of the first round, even maybe beginning the second round, maybe. But I do see four or five going the first round. So in the end, I think Willis and Howell do go towards that middle to back of the first round. But what I like about Howell is I just like how he gets out of situations with his feet. Mm-hmm. I like how he puts the ball. He gives his receivers, an opportunity to, take it to the house. He's not putting it behind, making them, waste movement to come back. So I like what he does. But again, I do see a lot of, mechanical issues. What I don't like, and I'll say this is one thing I can't take my eye off as an evaluator. Other people probably would maybe even correct me that, there's not a big thing about it. But mm-hmm. the way when he dropped back and throws anything past 20 yards, it's almost like a loft. And I understand why he's doing it. He's mm-hmm. trying to take some heat off of it and make it a catchable ball. He's not going to get away with that in the NFL. Because mm-hmm. if he does that, these DBs, they're going to be
so athletic, right?
He's mm-hmm. got to let that go on the follow through. Mm-hmm. every other pass, like if he's in the red zone, he's zipping it, but he takes it off. You can see it. He takes something off that. That'll be like my number one knock on him probably is it's just that loft pass. And it looks good on tape in college, but it's just not going to work on the next level. So that's my big one. So we'll see what happens with him. I do think, like I said, he'll go somewhere, in the first round.
Yeah, so Hal is interesting to me. So I watched him a couple of times, and I think he has an awesome deep ball, great touch on the deep ball. Definitely hits people in stride, as he mentioned.
For sure.
He definitely seems to have, he has a major production last year with that talented group. What I'm kind of worried about is I do see him as RPO. I don't really see him. you tell me. I don't really see him as a fluid running. I don't see him as a fluid rusher, especially at the next level. Maybe he gets away with it in the ACC, but I don't see him in the NFL being a big runner. And then I also see it's kind of rattled. His offensive line really wasn't that strong. It's hit often. And I don't, maybe I'm jaded as a Washington fan and Patrick Ramsey. Just like, those quarterbacks just getting hit all the time. I was afraid his like internal clock is going to be sped up and he's going to have to be corrected on that next level. Do you see that as well? Or what are your interpretations on that?
I do. That's why I like Willis better, because I think you want a quarterback that's going to get you out of trouble. I think that's one that, you know, we'll get to in a second. But with Howell, I think, yeah, you better be doing, you know, a movement offense. You got to have a lot of motions. You got to have a lot of things going on. And the reason, you know, that's important for especially someone like him is because it takes a lot of attention off of him, you know, because the defense or the linebackers, they're looking at the receivers, looking at his motion. That, you know, there's a lot going on. So he does need that. If you're going to try to just put him in an NFL-style West Coast offense, he's not going to work it out. I think that there's a handful, and that's where I have some of my challenges this year compared to passes, looking at some, you know, what I think are a couple teams that he could fit on. I'm not just going to do Washington if I'm going to put him out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do think there's a few teams that can have him, but not as a starter right now. So that's why it's going to be debatable. You know, is he going to be in that top 25 or toward the end of the first round or, you know, early second?
I got you. Okay, cool. So that's a good take on Howell right there. So let's pivot to Willis. So Willis definitely, he has that immense upside. You know, I think he's a 4.37 40. I was watching his games the other day. What I like about him is he does have some size too. He's a bulky quarterback. I feel like he can take a couple hits at the next level. Like, I don't think he's going to stray away from using his legs on the next level. I think he can definitely incorporate and kind of, you know, the next team can basically build around him as well, we're running quarterback. I do see that. His arm is immense and is large, in my opinion. But I do see inaccuracies and I do see like inconsistencies. Like some plays, like he's a wild, when I watch his film, it's a wild ride. Like some plays, like, damn, look at him just do that. Then at the same time, like, damn, like what the hell was that? Like, I do see both ends to that. Like, what do you see with Malik Willis? What's the takeaway from him?
Unlike the other guys, like, because I, you know, wrote about this guy too. So we'll start off on the negatives. You know, you're talking about mechanics, you know, the bat. Throwing off the back foot, that kills me. You know what I mean? You know, you see it in him. You're like, you know, he had enough room to really step into that. And again, we're talking about liberty. So, you know, with Freeze, these guys, they're really going the right direction. But that NFL coaching, that can really take some time with him. You know, if you're going to get a guy in the top, you know, two rounds, they're going to dedicate, you know, a quarterback coach to really focus on mechanics. So I think if you can do that with him, it's going to do a lot. The elongated throwing motion. You know, it does give me shades of Aaron Brooks from, you know, the New Orleans Saints, if anyone
back
remembers.
Back in the day.
You know,
I
see a lot of those comparisons. But I'll tell you, one of my favorite things is watching him run. I put on my write-up, I just really found, you know, there's this YouTuber out there, a really cool guy. The perfect video was basically side-to-side him and Michael Vick. And I just say, you know, just go out there and watch this. Anybody that says, no, he's not in that class. No, he's not. But his stats destroyed Michael Vick, number one.
Okay.
But again, it's Liberty, so we won't go too crazy.
With a grain of salt,
but
yeah.
Let's just look at the runs. Like, you know, the video I put up, you know, giving an opportunity to see his throwing motion, it really does look very similar to Michael Vick. And everyone saw Michael Vick.
I got to look out for this. Okay, cool.
But we got to remember, he started at Auburn. So although he was at Liberty, you know, he was at Auburn for a brief amount of time. And, you know,
why did he leave, Adam? I don't know much about that, you know?
The digging that I kind of did, it seems that it just has to do with the prospects. It has to do with the recruiting class. You know, he came in as a three-star prospect, and I'm not positive, but I believe the quarterback that they got, if it was Nix or the other guy, I'm trying to remember. I think was it Nix? I'm not sure. Okay. I didn't review Auburn. I think it was a four-star, or they were basically going to get him
the
job. Nix,
but yeah.
What I heard is the inside track was that, but they wanted to keep him. They wanted to use him in sub packages. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like they were moved. They had plans for him.
Yeah, athlete, quarterback, and pocket passer, basically. But he wanted more playing time, probably, right?
Right.
It makes sense. Yeah.
And I think that with Liberty, what I loved about their offense is fans were so – people that are watching, you know, evaluating draft quarterbacks, they really focused on the bowl game and a couple games leading up to that. And, yeah, it was a big disappointment. But, man, he took punishment this year. Everyone has to understand that. This Liberty offensive line was bad.
Yeah, I saw – wasn't he like the third worst in the entire college football or something really bad? He got sucked like four times a game. I think I saw that actually. Like he gets sucked a lot, yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. You know, he runs around too loud.
And he brought it on himself. I agree with you there.
He needs direction. But as far as I saw, a lot of times when he was out of the pocket, and just like Russell Wilson, he was looking to just create, you know, a passing lane, you know, by running. And if fans just look at those games, you know, some of the games that I highlighted, I mentioned in my article, you know, you can see, you know, it looks like he's either going to take off or just go out of bounds. And the last second, he just flings it sidearm, 15-yard touchdown. That's the kind of stuff I want to see, because I feel like the NFL is trending towards a lot more college game innovation. Everyone said with Robert Griffin III that all of that was going to be out. Now we're seeing all kinds of different versions of it.
So, yeah, it's awesome. You
know, as everything evolves, I think we got to understand the money is not the same as it was for quarterbacks. If you're drafting a quarterback outside of the top 10, if you miss, it's not going to kill you. Dwayne Haskins didn't kill
Washington. We bounced back. Yeah, exactly
you
right.
Know what I mean?
We bounced back. Yeah, it didn't kill us. Yeah.
Quarterback at 11, you know, whatever, you know, it's not going to kill you. So if you're talking about Willis, you know, somewhere in that top 25, of course, I see him better than a lot of quarterbacks in that range last couple of years. But again, for someone like him, you have to have patience because there's a lot of stuff to clean up. But again, just like Michael Vick, cannon arm, and he's dynamic when he goes off script. But he has to embrace the short game, and I think that's when you can get him into offense. It has to be the right fit. It has to be a team that's willing to tailor around him. And I think he's not a kind of – everyone thinks that someone like him will come out every year. I disagree. I think that his athletic ability – and, yes, he took a lot of hits, but he stayed healthy. So I think you get this guy on the team, you have a plan, teach him the short game, work with his mechanics. Man, I think – and that's why, you know, Trey Lance, they're slowly using him, and I think that's what a team should do with him. If someone drafts him, I'd use him in sub-packages.
I would, too. I think it'd be really smart.
My wife, you know, she is big into that. You know, you talk about someone that's ahead of the curve. We talked about a while ago how Tim Tebow used to do it there. She says, well, why aren't we seeing it more in the NFL? Like, you know, she knows about the Taysom Hill when I showed
her. Hell, yeah.
But, you know, awesome. Why aren't we seeing it more? And I said, we are. We're going to see it a lot more. In the next 5 years, we're going to at least see – I think five teams.
Need some. Give them exposure. We're seeing the Marcus Mariota and the Raiders. You start seeing this more and more. I agree with you there. So right. I'm going to throw you a little curveball. Let's see if you're ready for this. So we talked about, you know, maybe four or five quarterbacks going in the first round. You prefer Pickett and Corral. Let me give you an option, right? You know, let's say Pickett's gone. I think he's going to be gone top five, whatever it be. Would you rather take Corral or would you rather take Malik Willis and have like a veteran quarterback, let's say Derek Carr or Garoppolo coming your way? Which option would you prefer?
So you're talking about take Willis a little later?
I guess Willis is only going to be in the first round, right?
You can't I'm not going to take him at 11. At 11, Corral.
Let's say he falls to the second round. I'm saying hypothetical. Like, I mean, is that something you want to do?
If he even fell to the end of the first round and Washington has a quarterback, I think you try to jump back in and get someone like him.
Okay.
But not early. But Corral, yeah, that's a great situation. But if you can do it like a little later and get Carr. My issue with Carr is I like what I saw. But, man, when he gets in the red zone, I think Washington has a problem with that. And you're going to bring in a vet that has a problem with that as well. Not, I'm saying he'd be one of the biggest upgrades Washington's had a quarterback ever.
Yeah, for a long time.
I just don't. And I think that's going to take two or three first round picks. I think people might undervalue this quarterback.
I agree. I think the investment in Carr or Garoppolo would be way too much. Right?
Garoppolo, take him out of the picture. I think that Kyle Shanahan is really, really smart. And I think he knows what he's doing. He's definitely playing his strengths. I think Garoppolo goes to most other teams and he does nothing. I hope Washington stays away from him because I think that they had a plan for him until they got a draft pick. And, you know, they're going to go as far as their defense goes, not as far as Garoppolo and their run game.
The run game is fantastic. I love watching that run game. It's so nice. Yeah, it's fun.
I think it really when you take the defense's attention fully off attention off of Garoppolo, it can help him shine a little bit. So that's fool's gold right there.
Gotcha. I agree. So Adam, let's do this. We have like 10 minutes left for the show. Do you want to focus on a couple more prospects or do you want to lump like Strong and Ritter and all them together?
We've talked about a lot of quarterbacks, but again, I definitely see a realistic situation where they're going to be able to get, you know, like I said, teams release quarterbacks. The Deshaun Watson, I don't know how that's going to turn out, but I just don't think no matter what happens, Washington is the destination with everything that's happening.
Yeah, it's too much, right? It's not a good match, I don't think. Yeah, I agree with you there.
But if they can figure out, we'll put that out there. I don't even have a name because I'm not into that mode right now. But a guy that I just love, and some might even say it's a little early at 11, man, N'Kobe Dean. And it's not even just because of the national championship. It's, you know, I was turned on, you know, just checking out a little of him last year. And then, you know, really what he did between, again, we talk about as an evaluator, what have they done from 1 year to the next, just like Jamin Davis, tremendous upgrades. But the difference of having somebody like N'Kobe Dean, I think if you have, you know, somebody might say, well, you know, that's a little heavy on linebackers. You got Cole Holcomb, you got, you know, Jamin Davis. So back to back, you get on linebackers. But what that allows you to do is a lot of teams are going to be going to more two tight end, three tight end sets. I just think it matches up well with quicker defenses. It throws them off. So I think if you're able to have a guy like Nakobe Dean, you know, you can line him up outside. So if you're going to end up moving a guy like Payne and maybe even Sweat, Nakobe Dean's a guy you can put on the outside on passing downs, but you can also put him in the mic on passing downs if you want to, because he has the ability to drop back cover tight ends and running backs. You know, I'm about six games into him with the national championship, and I'm pretty damn sold at number 11 if he would be there. Yeah. I think the teams are just going to fall in love. I think he's going to be in his pro day if we get to the combine. I think he's going to go up top 10. They're just, people are just going to absolutely love his game.
What's his 40, right? Do you have any idea how fast he is?
I'm just going to guess, because there's been people have said that's what it's I'm all saying. Over you the talk place. To Georgia fans, they'll go from anywhere from 4.4. Then you're talking about people that say probably about that 4.65 range.
Got you.
So okay. I think it's going to be around anywhere between in the between of that. So, but it's his motor, it's his hustle. And the Washington linebackers, they don't have that. And I think if you're drafting somewhere 11, the thing is, what are you going to do with him? You don't have to take him off the field. So, you know, I think right now,
is he a trendsetter? Is he like, does he bring the hammer? Is he pretty, is he a fiery linebacker or what?
Yeah. And you look, and his size is not going to blow you away. I think he's going to come in around just around 6'1", 225. But you're talking about safety, you know, strong safety instincts, you know, or even free safety. Like I said, he can drop with some of the best of them. He's fluid. You know, I've seen, you know, better coverage linebackers, but what I haven't seen, you know, we talked about, you know, last year, something the kid I liked from Tulsa, you know, he's able to rush the pass and do this. And, you know, that he was a lot bigger. But the thing about Nakobe Dean is he's more compact. You know, you think about London Fletcher, compact kind of linebackers. He's not that small, but those guys are able to really get in tight spaces. You know, anytime offensive linemen try to get the, you know, you just think of it, they try to really get a hold of them. It's just hard because they're really slipping between the tackles and the guards, especially. You can have this guy running stunts. You can have this guy on the outside. There's just a lot of creativity. So at number 11, if you're not going to go quarterback, I'm not a fan of the receivers to go.
I was going to ask you one question. It's like, for me, I definitely like, you know, big picture in a dream scenario, I was thinking Washington quarterback first round. I definitely am curious about linebackers. Is there a wide receiver that Washington get in the early second round that would possibly be like a plug and play, like true wide receiver too? Do you think we can get away with that or what?
Yeah,
that's a hard question to ask you, but I don't know how deep you are with wide receivers right now.
He could, again, if they're all going to move up, but right now the range that I'm looking at him is, you know, Jahan Dotson from PSU. You know, you talk about speed. I think a lot of people are falling in love. You know, I think in Cam Sims, I think you have a quarterback, they'll get him the ball. That's a solid possession guy. I don't think
I like Cam Sims.
You know, and that's why I look at some of these guys in the draft that are 6'3", 6'4", and in the first, second round range, I'm not touching that. But a guy like Jahan Dotson, he's that first round fringe guy. So you get him, you know, and everyone, I'm just a guy, I'm not high on Samuel right now. I'm not convinced that he's going to come back in year two and he's just going to do special things for us. You know, people talking about using him in a Deebo Samuel role. No, no way. He's not even that type of receiver.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At all. So
I think Washington should operate like he doesn't exist. I know that sounds so bad to say, but it's like, you don't really know with these soft tissue injuries. Like, he's going to come back. He's going to contribute, but at the same time, you can't bank on him. That's an epic flaw to have. We should definitely keep investing, keep adding talent over there. So give me one or two more prospects before we wrap it up. Adam, if you don't mind.
Sure. And then another guy, you know, we talked about, I mentioned Brisker before. He's a first fringe round guy. It's hard. I got a couple. I like tight ends. Okay. Right now with Logan Thomas, I'm a little concerned with his injury. It was a little delayed in getting that news, but it is a tear. So, you know, it's still that, you know, hopeful that 7-8 month time range. Mm-hmm. So I think you're talking next year, talking about going in with, you know, Reyes and Bates. I like Bates. I like him a lot. I like him as a tight end too right now. This guy, Windemeyer, Texas A&M.
Okay.
This guy was at 6'5", 255 pounds, but a receiver. So okay. I just gave you receiver measurables. I mean, tight end measurables, but this guy is really, you know, it's around, you know, three or four routes that he's proficient in right now. You know, his comeback, his slants, you know, his crossers. But, you know, those are the type of things that, you know, in the middle of the field, it's going to take multiple guys to bring him down. So Windemeyer is a second round. And, you know, one of the last guys that, you know, I'll talk about is because I'm looking at free safeties a lot. You know, I did the Notre Dame kid, briefly mentioned Brisker. I'll have an article about him. But I'm looking more at this Michigan free safety, Daxton Hill. 6'3". Everyone says he's running in that 4.3, 4.4 range. Ball Hawk can be that, you know, that deep safety that we're looking for. So I think all the pieces that they have, you're talking about a guy like that in the second round. You know, like I said, it's early, but those are a couple guys that I think you can come in next year, you know, supplement some free agency, is players of free agency, and, you know, really have a good offseason. But I think you really, unlike years past, you got to hit, you know, in the first, second, third round, because that St. Juice pick is going to haunt them. Because I think you can miss on a first round pick sometimes, but if you look in the third round, some of the guys on the board, they missed, because he's already had enough concussions to be a concern. And
that's
true.
Concussions, they don't mess with them.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be, in the end, it's not going to be a wise investment. So I think you got to really, you know, you got to get a quarterback in these first three rounds somehow. You know, I like this kid, Zappe, the Nation.
Yeah, I saw that. I read that article. That was a good article.
You know, he's around a fourth round range. So a third round is a slight reach. I think if you're Washington in that third round, you can probably end up trading back in the back of the third or early fourth and get Zappe and still get extra picks. And, you know, he's not a guy you're going to bring and start right away, but, you know, this is a guy who had success in the air raid. You know, you talk about Pat Mahomes. He doesn't run like him, but you talk about those decisions. He can throw those sidearm throws, you know, doesn't lose a lot of accuracy off the long balls, but, you know, his bread and butter is just the quick game. And for an NFL quarterback right now, even though he's a mid-round quarterback, any quarterback that can come in and run that quick game proficiently, you know, that football IQ, that's what I'm looking for in a prospect. But yeah, in a nutshell, just a few I like.
Coach, up on one more before we're all done. So tell me about Ridder, man. People keep talking about him on Twitter. I don't really know much about him at all. So what do you got on him? Do you like him? Is he like, what's a comp for him in the NFL? Like, what do you have in regard to him?
I don't know. Like I said, I did about six games in. I watched the bowl game, and I've seen enough, because I watched him last year, and a lot of people thought he should have came out last year. I think he probably would have went. It's crazy to talk about quarterback class is bad, but some think he could have gone last year, been, you know, the top of the first round. I think unless he really has some unbelievable pro days and a combine, you know, he's a second round guy. I think you're talking about him and Carson Strong in the same conversation. Carson Strong's, you know, knee issues dating back to high school, those concern me. And he just looks extremely robotic. So I don't even have him on my board at all. If he ends up in a perfect situation, I'll eat crow on that one. Great. But Ridder, I think, you know, he comes in, has to come into a solid veteran situation where a quarterback is there at least 2 to 3 years. He's got
a couple years away. Okay.
Yeah, he's dumb. He's not a finished product. And Cincinnati, you know, what they do over there, they're not really preparing him for a lot of what he's going to do on the next level. So I think NFL coaching, some time, a solid veteran presence ahead of him. Yeah, he could definitely be something in the future. But right now, yeah, he's not going to be someone I evaluate. I did five games. So like I said, after five games, I had enough.
All right, perfect, man. That's awesome. So Adam, thank you for your time, man. I really appreciate it. I think I learned a lot. I think the fans learned a lot too. So, you know, let's bring it on home. So what are you working on upcoming? What are some prospects that are coming out for you? And tell us where they can find you on social.
And of course, you know, always find me at theburgundyandgoldreport.com. I share my articles on, you know, all forms of social media. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook. But a lot of the prospects we outlined tonight, you know, the quarterback prospects, I've already dropped those. I really wanted to go hard with the quarterbacks this year. Unlike the past, I kind of mix it up in the beginning with small schoolers. I had my interview with Josh Williams. Like I said, that small schooler, I'll put that out, but I really want to get the quarterbacks out early. So we'll be having one with Howell coming out. And you know, there might be another, you know, quarterback or two. But for after that, like I said, N'Kobe Dean, a lot of the guys that we talked about tonight, free safeties, guys that I think is good fits, just not in Washington, just on a lot of other teams. So that'll be upcoming. And like I said, you know, just stay tuned. TheBurgundyAndGoldReport.com. We're weekly prospects. Like I said, during the week, sometimes, you know, we'll even drop off Washington articles. We dropped one about, you know, a lot of people thought it was strictly about the Ravens quarterback Huntley, but it was, you know, it was all options on the table. We mentioned, you know, all the free agent options and, you know, Huntley's a guy we didn't discuss, but he's a, you know, an ERFA that Washington would probably get him pretty cheap. So that's another option, you know, check out theburgundyandgoldreport.com. So it's not just the prospect cards. We got Washington articles on well, but
hell yeah, man.
Great to be on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
100%, man. And guys, definitely check out Adam's work. I love listening to Adam because Adam, he intentionally tries to find an extra niche, right? He understands that mainstream part, but he always tries to find that extra angle that no one's looking for. So I do appreciate that. So Adam, thank you for your time. I think people learned a lot, and I'll talk to you soon. Okay. All right, guys. Have a great night. Take care.
Bye, guys.